We've been talking about love here in February. Love. Love. It's the love month, Valentine's Day. It's been a couple weeks ago, but we're still dealing with love. Today we're talking about love your church and your church family. Look around you right now. Just look around. Wave a few people. Say hello. You can do that. Where can you get a group of people who are different in race, age, different kinds of families? You'll meet despite the weather. You're going to have different opinions on sports, on politics. There's going to be some FSU fans in the house and other fans who need Jesus. We got some TCC fans in the house today. They won their championship yesterday. Congratulations. But what's unique about this place is we have one thing in common, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the church? The church is a follower or followers of Christ who get their identity and mission from Jesus and understand ourselves to be a community and fellowship with each other and with God. We are the church. I've said that before. It's not the pews. It's not the building. It's not the broken guitar string. It's not any of the items. We are the church. If a tornado came and took this building away, the church would still be here because we are the church. I don't want that to happen. Just understand. Look around again. You see people that are different than you. Different age, different race, but we're all the human race. Can I hear an amen? We celebrate the church today. Today, I want to remind us of all three things about the church. Let's pray. Father, bless these next few moments. And I'm thankful that today we are going to be taking communion at the end of this message. Because we're celebrating you. This church is not about one person or just a few. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. And we celebrate the church and the body of Christ today. Just bless this time and just help us to walk in your anointing and your spirit in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Number one, the church belongs to Jesus and his kingdom. The church belongs to Jesus and his kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18 through 20. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. We are here today because of Jesus. Everything we do as a church should honor and glorify Jesus. We're here to worship him. We should steward the church well, right? We should manage that well. Steward is just another word for manage. As the pastor of this church, I should steward and manage this church well. I've got an amazing staff around me. I've got an amazing church board. I've also, we've got a fantastic church body. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. And we are growing. People are getting saved. But I want us to have the mind of Christ, a heart for God and a heart for people. This church belongs to Jesus. We are His people. These are His finances. We take that very seriously. When you drop that offering in the bank, or in, not the bank, but in the boxes, or you give online, we take that very seriously. This belongs to Jesus. That's why we have good accountability when someone counts that money. We don't just have one person back in the corner just, you know, hey. We take that very seriously. That's why the pastors, we have nothing to do with the money. If you do give it to me by chance, I'll try to drop it in the box or the safe real quick. A lot of people have gotten in trouble because they forget that this is Jesus' finances. This is His mission. When you minister in the nursery, you're ministering unto Jesus. When you minister to the youth, you're ministering unto Jesus. When you're a greeter greeting someone at the door, you're greeting Jesus. You may call them by a different name, but you are greeting people in the name of Jesus. Whatever ministry it is, we are ministering unto Jesus. His mission is for us to share the gospel with those down the street and around the world, as you can see. We are to bring His message of hope to everyone we meet. I love this story I'm about to share with you. I've been encouraging you, especially on Wednesday nights. We've been talking about sharing Christ with others and getting out of our comfort zone. On Wednesday nights, just to give you a picture, I'll share the word, but then I have people practice with one another, sharing their testimony. Or last week, I had them pray or talk to people one-on-one. We're practicing for witnessing out on the street. So I've been asking people to share with me responses to that, and I love this. This is from Donna D. Frazier. Now, everybody say hi to Donna D. She's right over there. She loves this part. I know she doesn't. And I just want to share some of the story that has come from challenging to go outside of ourselves. Are you ready? Dear Pastor Perry, me, this is from her, being honest, I do not like all of these challenges and changes. They scare me and take me out of my comfort zone. Me, also honest, I love all these challenges and changes. They scare me and take me out of my comfort zone. Thank you for discipling us. I have hesitated to email because my little incidents have seemed insignificant compared to others. But after three or four of these things, I think maybe God wants me to know that baby steps matter. And what we think is insignificant maybe isn't. So remember, we're on His mission. It could be big, it could be little. I don't have time to read all of them, but she says, incident one, there was an incident that happened, a lady, and she didn't pray. She said, I failed. But she prayed away from the lady, and God answered the prayer. Incident number two, it was a Monday morning. I took my children, she's a teacher, to the art room. Our art teacher gave the lesson and we began working with the students. I heard her tummy rumble and we laughed. She mentioned she was fasting for a test she had that afternoon. See, this is real life. I've worked with her for over 20 years, so I know her history with cancer, and I felt comfortable enough to ask her quietly if this was a routine test or something else. She told me it was not routine and that her doctors had been concerned with some unexplained weight loss and a few other symptoms. She shared this with no one except her husband and our boss. She was a nervous wreck. Fail number two. I left with my children a few minutes later. So, just to give you some context, I've been encouraging people to pray during the moment for the need. In the moment, okay? So she says she failed. I left with my children a few minutes later, but God was trying to talk with me about this again. But I was pushing it aside. Ever pushed God aside? Using the excuse of my needy little friends, the children. A few hours later, God is still talking to me. Lunch break arrives. All right, God, if I see her when I walk out, I will pray with her. How many know in that moment you're hoping you don't see her? You know what I'm talking about. And wouldn't you know it, there she was. Ugh, here I go. Tammy, when are you leaving for your appointment? I want to pray with you, I said. Oh, in an hour, thank you, she said. Goodness, it's so much easier to just tell people you're going to pray for them and then walk away. But like you told us in last night's Wednesday service, let's try to make a moment in the now. So there we were on the sidewalk, arms around each other, eyes wide open, and a few children near our feet, being children, anxious to get to their afternoon class. I have no idea what I said, something about peace and peaceful thoughts, as this was to be a long, uncomfortable test where she would need to be still. It wasn't perfect. It definitely wasn't eloquent, but I did. Prayed for her right there. Isn't that awesome? And it felt good to give my friend encouragement and share our Heavenly Father's love. That afternoon, I received the sweetest text thanking me for our shared moment in prayer. On Wednesday that same week, I was walking the children through the courtyard. I heard someone calling my name from around the corner. It was Tammy. Tears in her eyes, smile on her face. Donna D., I just got a call from the doctor's office. The results are negative. I am completely clear. We shared the best hug and a good praise the Lord together. You see what God can do in those moments. Incident number three. Her boss was crying, having a rough day. Donna D. prayed right there on the spot. Man. Awesome. The boss said, thank you for your sweet prayers. She goes, one of my sweet prayers? My eyes wide open, uncomfortable, stuttering for word prayers? God can use us just the way we are. Then she says this, fast forward to last night's service. She wrote me this after last Wednesday. I'm already casing out the scene, looking around the sanctuary to see who I will group up with to share testimony. So what I've been doing is I've been having people group up, and I'm making them, asking them nicely, share their testimonies of how God saved them. I want people to start thinking about what it was like to be lost and how God saved us. Then you, talking about me, throw a curveball. I said, find someone you don't know. You say, my worst nightmare. And you better believe I raised my hand high when you asked if that was hard at the end of the service. I made it through, though, and had a lovely conversation with Judy, who I don't know well. We did pray together, and you are right. Our church is our safe place, and it was good practice. At the end, I was joking with Donna Gardner, talking about how scary it was. And I shared, look for opportunities to pray for people this week. At that moment, comedian Donna turned around and whispered to me, or you can just slide someone a card. We have some invite cards you can share with people. And she gave me an invite card in my hand. And then, incident number four, the next day. David picked me up at work. David's her husband, and accompanied me to my routine blood work appointment. We were having lunch together. We sat down next to each other in the waiting room and talked about our mornings. There was about 10 to 12 other people waiting. David whispered to me, there's something wrong with that lady. Now remember, I encouraged them to go to someone they don't know. David goes, I think you might need to check on her. Wasn't that nice of David? At the far end of the room, about 8 feet from us, sitting by herself, was a lady probably 30-something. She was clearly in pain, yet clearly not trying to draw attention to herself. Ugh, really, God? So soon after practice, I nonchalantly walked over. Her eyes were closed. She looked so uncomfortable, I quietly spoke, "Ma'am, are you okay? Can I get something for you?" She replied almost apologetically, "I have some bruising on my brain. It's very painful." I sat down next to her and said something. We spoke very briefly back and forth. Then I asked if I could pray for her. She instantly said yes and moved her hands toward mine before she even realized, and then placed her hands back in her lap. This was my signal it would be okay to hold her hands. I reached out and she grabbed my hands. I prayed quietly with her, nothing fancy, still stammering me. I got some water for her, and then shortly my name was called. As I walked to the back, I couldn't stop thinking of her. I realized I didn't even ask her name. I was worried about her. My technician sat me down and gathered her supplies. I listened closely to the other technician as they called the next name. "Micah," I could hear her ask someone, "are you okay? Are you sure? It must be the lady I prayed with." When I was finished, I purposefully walked by the other room and peeked in. Sure enough, it was Micah, this lady. I told her I was going to continue to pray for her, and I stuck my hand in the outside pocket of my purse. There was the card that Donna had given me. And I gave her the card Donna had slid me last night. So there you go. Thank you for pushing me and making me uncomfortable. I know God doesn't need me, but he desires to use me. I'm learning and counting on him to cover my flaws. Can we just praise the Lord for that? You see, God wants to take us because this is his mission. And he's calling each one of us to be on his mission. Number two, the second thing about the church is nobody here is perfect. So have some grace for one another. Nobody here is perfect, so have some grace for one another. Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins." I got news for you. There's nobody here that's perfect. Nobody on this stage is perfect. Wait, what? So let's all just breathe a little bit and understand that about one another. Even when we become believers, we all bring ourselves into this church body. We bring our past, our history, our tendencies, our humanness, our flaws, our struggles. Now get this. Paul the Apostle, he wrote most of the New Testament. He got in such a heated argument with a fellow believer that he ended up breaking up the ministry team. Peter, who preached and over 3,000 people got saved, had to be confronted by Paul later about showing favoritism to the Jews over the Gentiles. So if those guys can mess up and need correction, we are not beyond that either. There are certain instances in the Bible when correction is called for. The church needs to discipline believers that refuse to listen. Those are rare circumstances, though. It's when a brother is open in open sin, he won't repent and won't listen. But when a brother or sister is struggling, we are there for them. We don't beat them up. We give them support. We encourage them. That's what the church should be about. One of the things that I like to say about this altar is no judgment. What if they see me come to this altar? What will they all think? That you need Jesus? We all need Jesus. If Pastor Marco walks up here and kneels down, are we all going to think, oh my goodness? You know what? Let's just get that out of our heart and mind and soul. We all need Jesus. We all need to come to the foot of the cross. Amen? The third thing about the church is this. We are family, so bless and help one another. We are family, so bless and help one another. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. The King James Version calls it a household of faith. This is actually a legal term. That means when someone is under the roof, the same roof, they become family. When you walk into the family of God, you become family. We're a single unit. All who were a part of a household were part of this inclusive unit. Ephesians 2:19 says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's people, God's holy people. You are members of God's family. There are times we need to, iron sharpens iron. We need to help one another straighten up. We need to encourage one another, disciple, mentor. But we're family. Look at someone right by you and say, I've got you. That's what the church should be. I've got you. I've got your back, Chuck. Unless you're playing on the other team in basketball, then no. Those are my two of my kids right there, Catherine and JP. I've asked permission. Catherine and JP went to the same school, elementary school, middle school. In elementary school, somehow JP got an enemy. Somebody was picking on him and got others to pick on him, and it was causing him trouble. He'd come home and talk about it, and it just, ugh. You know, moms and dads, we want to fix things, but you can't, you know, walk into the school and tell some 7-year-old, you know, whatever. I don't remember how old they were. But one day, they happened to be in the same area. Maybe, I think it was by the four square in recess or something like that. And Catherine, who's the big sister, called this friend over and put a stop to the picking on. I mean, Catherine, you know, she's mean, tough, you know. Now we laugh at that story, but I love that story because she stuck up for her brother. And you know, we need to stick up for one another. We need to be there for one another. But we need to help one another. You know, if there's a need in the church, help that person out. That's why I love the handyman ministry. Helping people who cannot take care of it, whether it's their yard or their house or something like that. I love that fact. Isn't that awesome? I've heard of churches where small groups are blessing each other. I know that we have small groups here, but I would love to see it even get closer and closer where people can count on their small groups to help them and bless them. I love the verse in John 13. We're going to conclude this part. 13:34 through 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. If we can love one another, what's the word we use? Love one another? Boldly. Now I'm going to give you a little secret, and we're going to close with this. Last week, as we were closing up church, we were getting ready to lock up. There's just a few of us here. Last week during our second service, the Holy Spirit just moved in such a powerful way. The altars were full. I mean, it was just one of those dynamic services. In the service, sitting right back there, right about where Mr. Nate's sitting, there was a young man, and I've got his permission to share this. There's a young man that's been coming for 2 months. He was invited by a friend of a friend. During that second service, the Holy Spirit began to move, and something happened within him, and he left. He left, went home, and we're getting ready to lock up, and he comes back in and says, I want to give my life to Jesus. We're like, wait, what? Talk to me. He goes, I'm from Iran, and I've been a Muslim all my life. Now, I don't know if you get those words right now. I've been a Muslim all my life, but I see something different here. Every time I come into church, I feel peace. And here's the secret. I'm going to introduce him to the 11 o'clock service because he'll be here. Me and him have already talked. I wish you could see him. You got to watch online if you can. I said, what do you mean? He says, I want to convert from Muslim to Christianity. I want to dedicate my life to Jesus. Church, that's not a small deal. We prayed with him right there. He asked Jesus to come into his life with tears coming down his face. He is so excited about Jesus. Later that afternoon, he says, I want to connect you with a guy from Turkey because they're similar, have similar language. And he goes, you mean the guy that prayed in Turkish? He was here. Cevdet, he prayed 2 weeks ago. And I said, yeah. He goes, awesome. They're connecting now, and he's going to disciple and mentor him. Isn't that awesome? As we were praying for him, I felt like the Holy Spirit just said small to me. This is just the open door for more. For more. Sometimes one. Sometimes Donna D praying for one can open up the door for more. And that's the church. That is what the church is all about. To bring people to Jesus and then to bring them into the family and love them and watch them grow. That's the church. But we are under his mission, his cause, his purpose. Before we take communion, I want to give anybody an opportunity to do that very same thing that young man came in last week. I mean, it's not too many times people come up to you and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. So I'm opening up that door, and I'm going to ask you if you will stand. I'm going to ask you if there's anybody here that wants to give their life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I'm so thankful for the church. I'm thankful that we can love the church and love the church family. But maybe there's somebody here that's not in the church family because they haven't given their life to you. They haven't surrendered. They haven't dedicated their life to you. And before we take this communion that is a symbol of being a part of the family of God, maybe there's somebody here, maybe there's one that says, I want to give my life to Jesus. While every head's bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here today and you say, that's me, I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, would you just raise your hand today? We want to pray with you. We want to welcome you into the family of God. Remember, there's no judgment here. We've all had to come to the foot of the cross. Is there anybody here that says, yes, that's me? Just raise your hand. Slip it up, slip it down. Yes. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, there's two hands right now. Thank you so much. Before we go into our next part, I just want to say thank you to those that raised their hands right now. That's awesome. I want to give my life to Jesus. Can we just say praise the Lord right now? Hallelujah.